Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. It is Monday morning, first day of week 12 of the home quarantining, which, you know, and things have changed a lot in the last couple weeks. A lot happened over the weekend, and we've talked a lot about that this morning. And some of what I've got to tell you, I have lined up here, is about stuff that happened this weekend, but not only protests, etc. I want to talk a little bit about SpaceX and more about Grimes and Elon Musk. But I'm going to start with Taylor Swift. In the last couple of years, she's certainly become a lot more political. She's made, you know, used her gigantic platform to make a stand on a few things. And she did it again this weekend. She is blaming President Trump for the racial unrest and a lack of leadership. She did not hold back. She tweeted, "After stoking the fires of white supremacy and racism your entire presidency, you have the nerve to feign moral superiority before threatening violence. When the looting starts, the shooting starts, ? We will vote you out in November at Real Donald Trump." She was responding to several tweets from Trump. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd. I won't let that happen. Let's see. Twitter placed the public interest notice on that post, saying it violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. So Twitter is also going all in on this. In 3 days, Taylor's tweet attracted more than 2.1 million likes and over 452,000 retweets. And within 5 hours of her posting, it became her most liked tweet of all time. And she's not alone. Lots of people are taking shots at him. And as you mentioned, that our listeners are texting in. The vote is where we can start to make a change. And in many of our cases, it's the only statement we can make.
Right. And I think that a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot. I think there are people out there that may not prefer the other option. I'm not thrilled with it either, but you've got to pick the best of what's available. that's what's got to happen. So right. Let's hope that, I don't know what that you think that is. You may even think that Trump is not part of the problem or that Trump's good. And that's fine too. Vote. Everybody should vote.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you how to think. I'm just going to tell you that I'm personally not voting for Donald Trump. I didn't last time, but I won't do it this time either.
No way. Jose. One bright spot this weekend was the launch of the SpaceX Dragon rocket. It was pretty exciting. I managed to miss it not taking off on I think it was Thursday was the originally scheduled, or possibly mm-hmm. Wednesday. And I managed to miss it again. At about 12:45, I went, "Oh my God, you guys, we missed the launch." And luckily, don't worry, the internet's got you.
You
can watch it,
too.
Right now if you want. Well, you can still watch it, Vinny. It's there for you to watch. Launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida, Saturday afternoon. President Trump was there for it. Everything went as planned. NASA put up a pretty cool recap video, by the way, if you just want to sort of see the whole, you know, an overview of the whole thing. It's the first time astronauts have launched from U.S. soil since 2011, and it's the first time a private company has put someone into orbit. Elon Musk called it the, quote, "first step on a journey toward a civilization on Mars." And even though at times he's crazy, I am fully behind this.
All right.
NASA agrees that AC/DC's Back in Black is the song that should be played as they go into the blackness of outer space.
Oh, cool.
Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley, the two astronauts, they listen to it on their way to the rocket. Back in black.
Nice. That'll get you pumped.
Glad to be back. You sound let loose. I know. Crank that up. Yeah. Michael Martin just texted me.
What did he say?
He said, "Back in black." That's right. That is what you should be playing.
Yep.
That's not what he said, but I'm just going to go ahead and pretend.
Okay, I was going to say, he's a rocker.
Yep, that's for sure. So that's what they listen to. One of the coolest parts about the SpaceX rocket is that it's reusable. And that's, you know, that makes the cost of this whole thing so much less per launch. It's still very, they're very expensive. I mean, clearly. But at least they're saving the rocket booster part. So that thing just, you know, it gets the thing off the ground, breaks the pull of gravity, shoots the thing off out of the atmosphere. And then instead of just falling to the earth and smashing or, you know, landing with the other space junk that's orbiting the planet, it takes itself back down and lands itself on a platform well in the done. Middle of the ocean. I know, it's kind of amazing. About 5 minutes after that, the astronauts hit orbit, and it took 19 hours for them to reach the space station. So they did a 10-minute live stream of them showing off the inside of the capsule. And they docked with the space station yesterday morning. NASA posted footage of them entering through an airlock, hugging the other astronauts on board. They're going to be there at least 5 weeks. But it's, you know, it is one bright spot. And while we're on the subject of Elon Musk, you know, he's with that chick Grimes, and she just had his baby. She is an artist.
Did you know her before this?
No. Good Lord, no. I didn't.
Right.
But I'm finding out more and more about her. And she is actually, like, she's sort of fascinating. Like, if you dive into, like, images of her and stuff, she's a very interesting-looking person. And she's, I don't love her music. We've only heard one or two songs, I think, that Brynn has played for us since we've started to get to know her. But apparently she's had some success with that. But she's saying her whole life she's been sort of an artist, like a visual artist and actually, you know, pen to paper artist. So she is doing an online art exhibition. This is Grimes, the woman who just had Elon's baby. It's called Selling Out. It's opening in Los Angeles on May 28th. And I guess that you'll be able to see it online because a lot of us aren't going out. She's announced
I'm still sheltered in place, for the record.
Yeah, I'm not going to the Grimes exhibition, but I could look online. And here's one of the things that's up for grabs, and it's her soul. She is selling her soul for a minimum bid of $10 million.
How do you get it out of there?
Oh, that's the question. So I guess as she started talking to her lawyer about this, she's like, I'd like to sell a piece of my soul. Not the whole thing, apparently, Vinny. The whole thing is way more than, you know. So you get a percentage of it. This nugget of Grimes, essence, I guess, will be sold along with, you know, there's prints, there's drawings, photographs by her.
It's such a statement, I guess, right? Because isn't that the whole thing about an artist is your soul isn't for sale?
Right.
Isn't it? That your art
and
everything that comes from you is supposed to be pure and have some kind
from of... From your soul. You can't also buy my soul. You can't get her whole soul, just a little piece.
All right.
She says she doesn't think it'll actually sell, and she's not wrong. No one's going to pay $10 million for some legal papers. She says, I didn't want anyone to buy it, so I said we should just make it $10 million, and then it probably won't sell. She was trying to discuss like the legitimacy of this with her lawyer, and she became intrigued by the concept. The deeper we got with it, the more philosophically interesting it became. Also, I really wanted to collaborate with my lawyer on art. What?
You know, anytime we've ever thought of anything, and then the idea of having to get that pushed through in a meeting starts to make us go, by the time the lawyers are done with it, it won't look anything like it began. Let's just skip.
Yeah,
and
forget
it. Here's Grimes with nothing to do. Hopefully the baby's changed that, you know, that she's got so much to do now that this soul-selling thing has disappeared and become just wasted time of a pregnant lady.
Maybe. Because, at this point, I'm sure she's like, no, I'm going to pretty much need the whole thing. Dealing with this.
Right.
But basically, she's saying, you know, I wanted to collaborate with my lawyer on art. The idea of fantastical art in the form of legal documents just seems very intriguing to me. So if someone wants to pay $10 million, they get these papers she and her lawyer drew. You own a part of her soul. Whether or not that's a quantifiable thing is up to you to decide.
The part that made me think of that and giggle is just that whole... So all of you don't expect it to sell. So all of this is pointless.
Right.
Okay.
It's just, it's really just, you know, look, it's her way of making a statement. And frankly, this is the first time I've ever heard of someone selling their soul. So good on her for coming up with a new thing.
All right.
She basically said also that, you know, she questioned with the current state of the world, do you really want to put something up for $10 million? She said she'll take the best offer. I don't know. I thought she was saying it was $10 million minimum.
Yeah, I got 43 cents for you. Is that the best offer? I mean,
it might be, Vin.
I don't know if I want the responsibility, though, of part of her soul.
But she's saying that would leave it up to the public to decide what her soul is worth. It's priceless. It's the priciest piece.
It's funny. The word that crossed my mind was the opposite. But go on.
Oh. So, you know, you can actually, she's got some like, you know, some print stuff and, you know, they start at $500. You can get a little piece of her soul's product, which is this art for far less than the price
art,
of her actual
this
soul.
This other thing is just, it's nonsense.
She said, I made art 10, 12 years before I ever touched a keyboard. Yeah, we all did. It's called finger paint. I see myself as a visual artist first and foremost. I've always felt strange that people know me for music. By the way, just because there's so much about her baby that's still a mystery, like, how do you say its damn name? She calls the baby Little X. In case you haven't heard somehow, the baby's name is X, the combined letter A-E, which I think is like a Greek thing. I forget what someone said that is. A-XII, Musk. That's the kid's name. So I don't know if there's, if is it like Xayi. Maybe that's the kid's name, Xayi.
Is this lady married to?
No.
What's his, okay, no. Yeah, boy, oof. She's a lot of work. A lot of work.
Well, she's definitely got some kind of strange struggle going on, you know? Look, you can't question anybody else's struggle. I think that we need to all respect each other's struggle, and I respect her struggle. And the fact that she's selling piece of her soul, I think clearly demonstrates that she's having a struggle. So anyway, she says she calls the baby X, Little X. She says X, the unknown variable, AE, my elven spelling of AI, love and or artificial intelligence, A-12, precursor to the SR-17, our favorite aircraft, No weapons, no defenses, just speed, great in battle, but nonviolent. A, Archangel, my favorite song. They just took a random selection of dumb things and put them together for a name. Anyway, Little X is the kid's name. Little X Musk.
Their kid, right? Nobody
That's right,
gets to
Vinny.
Tell them.
No. Well, listen, no one gets to tell them anyway. They're in their mansion. No one can even get a hold of them. Their phones, they don't even have phones. They're just busy being themselves.
When you bring up the naming of a kid, though, I go back to being in the hospital. My wife is in the middle of this process, and I'm sitting over
the
in
process
the
process of squishing a baby out of her
right.
uterus.
But, you know, it's so much longer. It's not, you're not, she wasn't there yet. She's just sitting there and feeling pain and waiting.
Yes.
So we're in that point, and I'm sitting over on my side chair with a million papers around me and a million names and a million name combinations, and I'm writing new stuff, and I'm Xing stuff out, and suddenly you really do feel responsibility. Like, you do start to go, like, I don't know that I can do the thing I want to do. It's probably the wrong thing to do.
In the end, you should have done it, man. She should have been Ripley. Like, the little Hulk baby is, I mean, she is a ripper. She's Ripley.
She's so much more gnarly than some.
Like, Edie is just so too sweet of a name for her.
Her older sister taught her to scream. And I don't mean scream like, you know.
Why?
Like, ah! I mean scream like that high-pitched, yes. And so now we have that happening in our house. And it's.
Oh, boy.
It's not good.
No.
It is really not. Like, every time she does it, I look at her sister. And you had to show her that, huh? God.
Every time she does it, you should get up and leave the room.
We definitely have to figure out how to combat it, because it's become her new way to get the attention she needs.
And that's why you walk the attention out of the room without comment, without looking at her. Get up and leave the room. Let her come find you. And if she screams in that room, get up and leave that room.
Good point. I'm doing it today.
Do it. Try it. It won't work. Just, you know, try anything.
Right. Well, my shift starts at 10, so I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow.
I can't wait to hear the progress you've made in the scream abatement program.
Super.
A guy by the name of Bob Kulick just died.
He's a guitar player.
He is. You know, there's some interesting stuff about him. He's actually uncredited on four Kiss albums. He's actually the older brother of former Kiss guitarist, one of their guitarists, like, you know, not the, from the original lineup, Bruce Kulick.
Right.
His death was just confirmed on Friday. I don't have a cause of death or the exact date that he passed, although I know it was recent. He was 70 years old. So he was on uncredited on four Kiss albums. He handled lead guitar for a Lou Reed record, the Coney Island Baby record. He was on several Meatloaf albums. They say most notably on 1984's Bad Attitude. Did a few albums for Wasp.
Oh.
I loved Wasp.
You did not.
Sure I did.
You
Don't
did?
I wanna be somebody too.
Yeah.
Isn't that a Wasp tune?
And I think it is.
Yeah, there was a couple songs I liked by them.
Yeah, I wasn't into those guys, but I played them on the metal station I worked on in San Diego.
He also played on Michael Bolton's 1983 self-titled album. So this is a guy who's been, you know, like various modes of music, various different types of music, various genres. More recently, he actually composed a song called Sweet Victory, which, by the way, I love SpongeBob SquarePants, and we used to watch. I don't know that there are a bunch of new episodes. I don't know when they stopped making them or, you know, what the hell happened with that, because I haven't watched it in years. But that was a staple at our house for our kids. And the song Sweet Victory appeared in the Band Geeks episode, which I remember vaguely. And as I listened to it this morning, I'm like, oh, I totally know this song. So here he is performing, which, by the way, he wrote, he composed it, produced it, and performed it. This is all this guy, Bob Kulick. So good. It's so perfect for SpongeBob because it's so over the top. Like, and SpongeBob sings it in the, like,
oh,
SpongeBob is the guy singing this. That's the SpongeBob voice, apparently, as he's singing. The music was one of the best things about SpongeBob. I just, like, there's so many songs that we still sing from that. So good. Sweet Victory. And you kind of have to see the... You know what? It sounds like that St. Elmo's Fire song. Who sang that? I can't remember that guy's name.
It's not John Waite.
John?
Is it John Waite?
No, it's John.
Hyatt?
John Hyatt? That sounds, oh my God, that sounds so close. St. Elmo's Fire. Kind of reminds me of that. Anyway, rest in peace to Bob Kulick.
Darn, I looked it up. Oh, there it is, the song. I looked it up and the stupid movie popped up. I didn't hit enough. John Parr?
Oh, John Parr. There it is.
I've never heard that name before.
Sure you have. That was a
I have
hit.
It.
All right. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
So much stuff, and we will touch on the protests and COVID-19. Bay Area traffic is back. There's also curfews and more after these.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.